Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Title of my message tonight is The Absolute Truth. Matthew chapter 5. What's that about? The Sermon on the Mount. And some people call it the rules for the kingdom. You can't do these things that are required of us here in Matthew chapter 5 without being saved. It would require the Holy Spirit, which they didn't have when this was presented, but they were being readied for that wonderful day when the Spirit of God would come and enable folks to do things of value, of eternal value. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke the commandments, really, but he gave them a twist, if you'll remember. I'll show you a couple examples of what I mean. In verse 21 of chapter 5, it says, "Ye have heard that it was said." Now, I want you to remember that phrase. "Ye have heard that it was said," down at verse 22, "but I say unto you." You've heard them say, "but I say unto you." He says that often through this sermon here. So I'll start over at verse 21. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. They say this, but I say unto you." And I want you to notice something. I'm pointed out here as we look at some examples. The individuals who were teaching in the Lord Jesus' day, they were really concerned about the outside, weren't they? The scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites. They asked people to do things that they couldn't and wouldn't do themselves. Got it? That's what they were teaching. But the Lord Jesus, as he rehearses these rules here, these laws, "but I say unto you," and where is his focus? What is he giving attention to? They gave attention to the outside. He gives attention to the inside, to the heart. And that's what the Lord wanted when he gave the laws of the Old Testament. He wanted to point out that we're sinful, but not just because of what we do on the outside. We're sinful because of what we do in our hearts, right? All of our sin is born there. Let's look at another example. Chapter 5 and verse 27. It says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." So you see, outside, commit adultery. Looking with lust is adultery in the heart. The Lord puts the focus back on the inside. We'll look at Matthew 5:33 in just a minute, but let's skip it right now. Verse 38, "Ye have heard that it was, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy cheek, turn to him the other cheek." Also dealing with the inside, how we respond to people, even from the inside. Verse 43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." The scribes and the Pharisees had sort of corrupted the people. They had taken the Old Testament principles and precepts, the oracles of God, and they made a list of rules out of them, and they had people conforming to this list of rules, ignoring what was going on the inside. That's what was wrong with Israel in the Old Testament. They went through the motions, but they didn't have it in their hearts. They went through the motions of worship. They kept themselves pure according to their own rules, and they went through the ritual of worship, but they didn't feel it in their hearts. And these scribes and Pharisees taught this outward conformity, and the Lord's teaching that's not enough. Jesus was not doing away with or changing the law. He was simply emphasizing the condition of the heart that the law, the rules that God gave, were supposed to be producing and nurturing in them. Jesus taught that the condition of the heart, if it was right, it would take care of what you do on the outside. If you're clean first on the inside, you'll be okay on the outside. You'll do the right things. Do you know why we sin? Because we're not always right on the inside, are we? It all gets its start right there. In this context, Jesus also deals with the topic of truthfulness, swearing to things, making oaths and vows before God, some searching questions to sort of help us sort of prepare for what I want to bring from verse 33, which is our text. How important is it to tell the truth? How important is it to tell the truth, to be truthful? Do most people tell the truth all the time, or do most people lie occasionally? Did you ever hear somebody say, well, to tell you the truth? Do you ever hear that phrase? Why did they say that? Well, to tell you, well, I didn't think you would lie to me. But to tell you the truth, or somebody might say, and that's the absolute truth. Or, now, no lie. So, did you ever hear that phrase? No lie. Okay, no lie. You're telling me the truth. What do you think when you hear those things, though? Sometimes they lie, right? Because this one's not a lie, but sometimes it is a lie. They may be lying to you right now. And if they lie, they wouldn't mind lying about lying, right? So I want us to look at the text and see what's so important, according to the Lord, about telling the truth, about being truthful and within our hearts to be truthful. Verse 33 says again, "Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." So the word forswear means to swear falsely. It's talking about taking an oath and then not keeping it. It's a lie. You say you're going to do something and you don't. People can do that to the Lord. You know, you can promise the Lord you're going to do this or not do that and do it or not do it according to your oath, and you're obedient. But if you don't do that, then you've forsworn yourself. Don't forswear yourself, he says. In other words, when you promise something, when you say you'll do something, it's binding. It's binding. Don't make a promise, then, an oath, a vow, and not keep it. Be a man, be a woman of your word. That's biblical. Don't tell lies. "Ye have heard it said," he says, "the Old Testament prophets taught them to perform what they had vowed. If they made a promise, they were to keep it." And that was in the Old Testament. Back in the book of Leviticus, it says, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Swearing by the name of the Lord. Do you ever hear anybody do that? "I swear to God," people say. I hate to hear that. It's using God's name in vain, isn't it? Because they're not swearing to God. They're using God's name as a swear word. But that came from somewhere. People making their oaths before God. Swearing before God. The Bible says in Numbers 30, "If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth." He has to do everything he said. A promise to God that you made, you have to do it. Not not do something that you promised you would not do. God holds us accountable for those, the Old Testament says. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21, "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee." So a promise to God that you're going to do something or not do something is binding. God says it's binding. To swear by the name of the Lord was to claim God as your witness. Let me ask if you've heard this. "As God is my witness." Have you heard that? "As God is my witness," and you say something. What exactly does that mean? You're calling God a witness of what you have said. You're using God to make... using the name of God to add some clout to your own comments or your own promise or whatever it might be. The verse says, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. If you vow or if you promise the Lord that you're going to do something or not do something, you should keep it. If you promise something in the Lord's name and don't keep it, then you used his name in vain and you lied. You lied and you associated, you connected God to your misdeed because you used his name in making this oath or this promise. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they sort of twisted these scriptures that I just shared from back in the books of the law. They twisted them as they were accustomed to doing. The Jews had created sort of a loophole, a cultural legal loophole to justify lies in their application of these laws. Now, let me explain what I mean. They taught that to swear by something actually added to your obligation. If you just said something, well, that's one thing. But if you swear by the church, if you swear by the throne in heaven, if you swear by something, the closer you get to God in what you swear by, the more binding it is. That's what the Jews were taught. To swear by the name of God was the most binding of all oaths. So they didn't do that much. They would swear by heaven. They would swear by earth. They would swear by Jerusalem. They would swear by the Temple Mount. They would swear by the different articles. They would make their promise and they would make their oath by naming those things. They would claim it's okay. The Jews would claim, if you just swore by Jerusalem, well, that's not as binding as swearing by the temple. What do you think? Isn't this silly? But that's what they were doing. They were that the more they wanted to bind themselves to something, the higher the object mentioned in their promise. That's what they were teaching their followers. They would claim it's okay to go back on your oath or your promise or their promise because, well, I didn't use the Lord's name in that oath, they would say. The scriptures, they said, require absolute truthfulness only in oaths that you use the Lord's name to make. And everything else was a little looser than that, little easier to get by with, you know, fibbing a little bit. Sort of like I had my fingers crossed. Did you ever do that? So we can lie as long as our fingers are crossed, whatever that means. Reminds me of, you tell your children that they have to be in the bed by 9 o'clock. And you hear noise in their room. So you go in the room and they're laying in the bed watching the television. They say, well, you didn't say we had to go to sleep by 9 o'clock. That's the kind of game that these religious leaders play. They tried to find little ways around all of the commandments of God. Verse 34, the first part of the verse says, but I say unto you, swear not at all. You see it? They're talking about how to swear by this and swear by that, and the Lord says, but I say unto you, swear not at all. Again, please understand that God's not changing the law, but their understanding of the purpose for which the law was given. God had not given the commandments pertaining to the vows and to making promises and oath and outward to get people to conform to the rules by the Pharisees and the scribes. But he wanted to convey the proper heart attitude toward truthfulness. That's why all those things were back there in the Old Testament. He wants them to understand how important truthfulness is. And I want us to understand tonight how important it is to tell the truth. If you're telling the truth, then you also need to be truthful to yourself. Have you ever heard somebody that lied so much you started to think, I believe they believe their lies. I think they believe. They lie better than they tell the truth. God intended by the law to teach that with or without an oath, it's the duty of a believer, of a child of God, to be truthful. To be truthful. And so he says, swear not at all. It's not meant to condemn oaths of every sort or in every place. We know that, don't we? Because our Lord used his Father's name in making statements. He swore by his Father's name. You want to see a few? Matthew 26:63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Actually, that's the high priest doing that. Not the passage I was thinking. Let me ask you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Sorry about that. This would be Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians 1:23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Do you see it? There's another one in chapter 11 and verse 31, 2 Corinthians 11:31. This is pretty straightforward, isn't it? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. See, he uses God's name. Not in vain at all. Romans chapter 1. And verse 9, Romans 1, 9. Look at a couple more. Romans 1, 9. Here's that phrase I mentioned a while ago. For God is my witness, he says. Romans 1, 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. If you look at Romans 9, 1. Romans 9, 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I say the truth in Christ. Galatians 1, 20 says, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. That's Galatians 1:20. And so you see it in the scripture, God's name used to strengthen something that was said. Jehovah swears by his own name. Let me see here. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Jehovah swears by his own name several occasions, Old and New Testament. I said, here's another possibility. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise, immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Hebrews 6:17. So what's the Lord's point here? What's he trying to say? There is no cause for you to swear at all. He says, swear not in our text here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34. Don't swear at all, he says. What's his point? He's referring to the teachings of these Pharisees. They think they have to ascribe some name or some holy object to everything they say. And he says, you don't need to do that. Even the laws pertaining to oaths don't require that we make an oath every time we open our mouths. That was prescribed, though, by the Jewish leaders. That's what they practice. So pertaining to these rules of the Jews, the Lord's saying, don't swear at all. Don't do this at all. Last part of verse 34, Matthew 5:34. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is God's footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair, white or black. It belongs to God too. So he says, neither by heaven or earth or Jerusalem, not even your own head. Each degree was thought to be closer to swearing to the name of God, which was totally binding. So everything less than that, you could, in certain situations, you could fib a little bit. They wouldn't swear by the name of God so they wouldn't get caught in their lies. They swear by something less. And if they got caught, well, I didn't swear by the name of God. They thought they were so smart. For it is God's throne, his footstool, his city, the verse says. Jesus tries to convey, though these things are not the name of God, everything they were swearing by belongs to him. It's invoking the name of God for your oath, for your promise, for your swear. Their oath must be taken as seriously as if they used the name of God. Because they said something, and what they said should have been truth, which is the point. Verse 37, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What does that mean? It means always tell the truth. Be truthful. Always be truthful. Be a man or a woman of your word. Just the thought, you don't always have to speak a lie, you can just live one. You can lie with your body language. Do you ever do that? Did you ever? If I want my wife to feel sorry for me, I don't have to open my mouth at all. I just have to walk in the house a certain way. Oh, Danny. Because she loves me. But it might not be true. Is our body language, is our voice inflection true? We should always communicate truthfully. He says, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. The only reason that oaths ever enter into this picture is because of the presence of liars. Why would anybody have to make an oath if there weren't liars? It's because sin entered into the picture that there is such a thing as swearing by an oath. We live in a world that's under the influence of the evil one, don't we? And not all men are truthful. A lot of them are liars. A lot of people are liars. Maybe most are liars. So we should speak the truth. And you don't need to attach God's name to it. Now, when you're in the midst of the unsaved people and you're in their court, literally, their court of law, we put our hand on the Bible and we promise to tell the truth, don't we? Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. Because you're in the middle of a whole pack of liars here, and you're going to tell the truth. Okay? That's what they want you to say. Okay, now you're going to take the stand. You're under oath. You heard that? You're under oath. You need to listen. I don't need to be under oath, nor do you. You should tell the truth. You should act the truth out. It should be your life. It should be what you are. Truthful, always. Always. How about in church? No lie. So and so, you don't need to do that here. We don't assume you lie. You're a Christian. I called a funeral home down in Florida day before yesterday in conjunction with a mortuary trust that was made by the Fessendens. And the man answered the phone, and I telling him who I was and what I was doing, and he said, he got loud. He said, let me interrupt you a minute. You're just a voice in the woods, he said. I thought, boy, this is going to go good. So he kept talking louder, and I tried to explain, you know, why I'm calling, just to get him to hear what I had to say. Well, he got louder, and I got a little bit louder, just trying to, you know, get a point in edgewise, and long story short, it didn't go well. He called me a liar and a thief, and it was bad. It was bad. And I thought, wow, So I wrote him a nice letter, literally, nice letter, emailed him a letter. He called me back today, and he was totally different. He called me sir before he hung up, and I called him sir before I hung up, and it went well, okay? When I told him that I was not a liar, I said, I'm a preacher. I'm not a liar. And he laughed out loud. He said, that's hilarious. Are you telling me preachers don't lie? Ha, ha, ha. He was like that. What do you say? Wow. Because most of the preachers he's known have lied to him. He's known lying preachers, and he can't. You're telling me preachers don't lie? He said. I would like to be able to say to him, I got a whole church full of people who don't lie. Brothers and sisters, my point tonight is we should be truthful. And truthfulness is what we are on the inside first. And then we fear God too much to do anything on the outside that's contrary to what he has placed on the inside. The very spirit of his Son, the very spirit of God living within us. And we represent him. We are the tabernacle of God on earth. We are his manifest presence on earth. And we need to be careful. And we need to be truthful. I don't know. If you were to ask me if I ever lied, I would have to say, yes, I have. I have told. Have you ever told a lie? I've said things in a panic, in a moment, and then have to call somebody and apologize and say, you know what I said to you is not real truthful. I'm so sorry. They appreciated that. But my point is we all have that same nature, don't we? Brothers and sisters, we live in a world of liars. Let's be salt and light. Let's be different. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share these thoughts tonight. I pray that you would bless them to us, each of us, as we receive them. And Lord, as we accept them into our thoughts and into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.